A lesson tonight is out of Romans chapter 8, verses 18 through 27. The believer's equipping for triumph amid the Adamic curse. Believers suffer under Adam's curse, whether otherwise known as the Adamic curse. And that's a negative experience that can tempt one to face spiritual defeat. However, Romans chapter 8, 18 to 27 addresses these sufferings with insight that, if applied, equips a believer to experience triumph amid his Adamic curse sufferings. So we view this passage for our insight and edification. I'd like to read the verses and then we'll look at them. Romans 8, 18 through 27. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope, because the creature itself shall also be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and travails in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, namely the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope, for what a man seeth, why does he yet hope for? But if we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Tremendous passage of Scripture. In Romans 8:17, Paul had used the emphatic conditional particle, a pair, which means in F indeed, to inform his readers that sharing in the glory of Christ in the future required sharing in his sufferings in this life. It's interesting how God the Father has determined that we, his children, sons of God, follow in the footsteps of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, even in his sufferings. That's, you know, what he went through in his life, his earthly life, and everything becomes a pattern for what we're supposed to be going through in our lives. That's because God has the Father has totally accepted. He is completely pleased with his Son. So he wants to conform us to the Lord Jesus in every way. Well, Paul then explained that God's program for believers in view of their sufferings under the Adamic curse. First, Paul told of the great glory of the believer's future release from the Adamic curse. By careful figuring, that's the Greek word logizomai, Paul concluded that the believer's present sufferings are far outweighed by the glory that will be revealed in us. Did you notice the preposition in us, in you? The Bible says that in the eternal state, they that are righteous will shine as the stars forever and ever. You're gonna light up with the glory that is from the Lord. And that's going to be an amazing thing. We're all going to see that. And it's going to be a blessing, tremendous blessing. To explain, Paul asserted that when Adam sinned and God then sentenced all creation to come under the Adamic curse, he did so in hope that the curse would be ended with the manifestation of the glorification of the sons of God, those who had believed in Christ for salvation. Now that's an amazing fact. Way back in Genesis chapter 3, when Adam and Eve sinned, God brought the curse on the human race. He brought the curse on the world. At that time, according to Paul, at that time, God was looking forward to the time when you and when I get our glorified bodies, and when we come back here, all creation is going to rejoice in the fact that you've got your glorified bodies, and it will be released from the curse as well. So for thousands of years, all creation has been held under the curse because God's been looking forward to the time when you and I will get our glorified bodies. That's what the glorification means to God. It means a lot. And that's really neat. It means a lot to us, of course. In other words, all creation, the Greek word is kedesis, itself that is under the Adamic curse of suffering and death waits for the strained expectation, an unusual Greek word, apokaradokia, which means it's straining expectantly, for the sons of God to be revealed, since it will be delivered from the curse into the glorious liberty from the curse's ills to be applied at the glorification of the believer. You look at the animal kingdom, the wildness in the animals. You look at the serpents. Serpents are poisonous and so forth. We have thorns on roses. All of the stuff, the excessive amounts of weeds and so forth that are around. Sickness, disease. We have people in our church who have cancer and so forth. All of that is something that is due to the Adamic curse, and that will all be released when we're glorified. So all nature is straining towards that day. In fact, all creation currently suffers from the Adamic curse, as also does the believer, who is still subject to that curse in his body. And the believer also groans within himself, waiting for the adoption, namely the application of Christ's redemption to his physical body at the rapture. Normally I walk in the mornings. In the Sunday morning, I didn't walk because yesterday I mowed the lawn, I did some other activities, and I woke up and I thought, oh, I don't want to do this. So I didn't. But the day's going to come and I won't have to groan. See? I'll be able to be just as spry as any one of the teenagers here and get up and go. But we're looking forward to that wonderful time. The believer yet hopes for this salvation of the body, and so he is to await it in faith. Well, Paul then told of God's provision for the believer to face his current sufferings under the curse. Though Jesus Christ told his disciples to pray for God's help in John 14:13, we believers in our current state of human weakness under the Adamic curse don't even know how or what we should pray for as we ought. Notice verse 26, the Spirit helps our infirmities, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. I think that's an amazing statement. This is the Apostle Paul writing. He was the greatest missionary in the history of the church. And he here fully admits that just like us, he didn't know how to pray for as he ought. We don't know how to pray, and yet God delights in our praying. But what does God do then? Well, God covers for us. The Holy Spirit graciously makes intercession for us believers with groans that words cannot express. Now, this has nothing to do with praying in tongues, as some suggest. The groaning is done by the Holy Spirit, not believers, and is not stated in words. I one time heard a man who was charismatic, and it was in a prayer time, and he started groaning, and I wonder what in the world is going on. And then I suddenly dawned on me, oh, he thinks he's groaning in the Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit groaning through him. No, we don't do the groaning. The Holy Spirit groans in ways that are far beyond our comprehension. And he does it beyond words. So that's a marvelous thing. When you go to pray, think of that. The Holy Spirit is praying for you. He may be erasing the prayer. He may be redoing it. Maybe we're not praying quite within the will of God. Maybe, who knows? But God's praying for us. Then, God the Father, who searches the hearts and knows perceptively or intuitively, that the word oiden means to know intuitively, the mind of the Holy Spirit, since the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will, to answer the Holy Spirit's intercessions for us. So the Holy Spirit is praying in our behalf, and God the Father is answering the prayer. Now, in addition, and this is not in the passage, but Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25, with Hebrews 1, 3, 4, 14 to 16, and 5, 6 to 10, reveals that Jesus is also effectively interceding for us. You've got two members of the Godhead who are interceding for you. When you pray, the Holy Spirit intercedes for you. Whether you're praying or not, Christ is interceding for us all the time. And he intercedes for us in regards to human weaknesses as well as for sins. Jesus is at the Father's right hand, and he intercedes in behalf of the believer's needs. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25, let me just briefly look at this. Tremendous verse. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing that he is always living to make intercession for them. Tonight, after you go to sleep, at 2:30 in the morning, Monday morning, If there's a need in your life, Jesus Christ will be interceding in behalf of that while you're dead asleep. Isn't that neat? Sometimes we might be headed towards an accident in which we're going to be killed, and the Lord doesn't want us to go at that time, so he'll allow something to come up that gets us delayed. So we stop. Maybe there's a little fox or something that runs right in front of us, and we have to slow down, put the brakes on. We say, well, crazy fox, I wish, you know, why'd they stay off the road? Well, it may be the Lord allowing the fox to run across the road to slow you down so you avoid the accident half a mile down the road. We don't know. But God is always at work interceding in our behalf. That's a wonderful truth. And then that intercession is especially effective relative to the believer's human weaknesses, since Christ, due to the incarnation, faced every form of temptation we face, yet without sin. You have Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 and through 16, that tells us also, seeing then that we have a great high priest, that's the Lord Jesus, that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Notice that Jesus' emphasis on the feeling. He feels them. Feels what you feel. But was in all points tempted just like we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. That's how God wants us to pray, with boldness, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Someone taught me that the grace to help and find in time of need actually should mean, and to find grace in the nick of time. And that's often how God answers prayers, in the nick of time, just at the last instant. Wonderful. Christ also suffered greatly in the body. And Hebrews chapter 5, verses 6 through 10 explains that this involved loud cries and tears of intense emotional and mental pain. And through such sufferings, Jesus learned obedience to become mature. An amazing revelation in view of the fact that Jesus was without sin. Imagine that. We often don't think of, we don't have any of the gospel writers who tell us that Jesus experienced loud cries with his sufferings. But he did. Loud cries and tears. He went through a tremendous pain. And yet he was without sin, according to 2 Corinthians 5:21. So if the Son of God had to face intense emotional and mental sufferings to learn to obey God, he certainly understands how to intercede for us who are still under the Adamic curse and who must learn to obey the Lord. See, we're sinners, and we still have to learn to obey. That's understandable. But Jesus was without sin, but even though he was without sin, he still had to learn obedience through suffering. So if Jesus had to learn obedience through suffering, we have to learn obedience through suffering as well. So all the suffering that we believers face due to the Adamic curse will one day be released in our glorification and at our revelation at Christ's second coming. All creation will also be released into the glorious liberty from the curse that we then experience. Meanwhile, Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit intercede in our behalf before God the Father to help us in our praying and to minister to us in view of our Adamic curse limitations and our sufferings. So may we hope for our glorious release from the Adamic curse, and may we pray for help in handling it now, assured that the triune God is highly involved in ministering in our behalf regarding our present sufferings. This morning, as I came into the morning worship service and got up here, I immediately sensed a need in my own life. I just sensed, in order to go through with the message, go through with the ministry, I needed to pray. And I was thinking of this passage because I knew I was going to be preparing it and ministering it tonight, and I thought of this, about the need to pray. But I knew the Spirit of God also makes intercession for us. So I went ahead and prayed, and I didn't really know what to pray for, but I just committed to the Lord, the whole service, my functioning in it, asked for his involvement, and just, you know, expressed to him my need to depend upon him, because I just sensed that I couldn't put my finger on it, but there seemed to be a spiritual challenge that was there. And so I went ahead and prayed, and the Lord blessed and encouraged. And then following the service, I had some feedback from some believers. There was a person who was visiting today from another church of believer, and absolutely appreciated and loved the service, everything about the service. And that was a real encouragement too. But I was amazed to see what the Lord did in that situation. And it convinces me, you know, the Bible says you have not because you ask not. You know, ask. And really, we do need to pray. I think we need to pray a lot more than what we think we do. There are needs that we run into all the time. There are physical needs that we have as people. Sometimes there are financial needs. Sometimes there are emotional and mental needs. There's just a wide range of relationship needs. And we just need to go to prayer, I really believe, and leave it in the hands of God. God knows we have weaknesses. We're all under Adam's curse. And we're going to be there until the rapture occurs. Thank God when the rapture occurs, that's all done away with. But until then, we need to pray. And if we do pray, we will have help. And God wants to help us. We have God the Son up in heaven. He's interceding for us all the time. The Holy Spirit is interceding for us when we pray. So you've got two members of the Godhead interceding for us in view of our weaknesses. So we might as well just pray and ask God for help. And sometimes you might go to the Lord and say, God, I know I've got a need. I don't know what it is. I can't put my finger on it, but I feel lousy today or something. I feel blue. I don't have the motivation to do what I think I'm supposed to be doing. I need help. I need guidance. I need wisdom. Pray. Lay it out to the Lord. And God in his grace will come through. And he'll really help us because he wants to help us. And he feels with us. The Lord Jesus does. He's been in the human body. He knows what it's like. And he will help.